This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Denny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Texas Insider Fishing Report, CCA Star, Angler U, Texas Insider, and Belleville Meat Market. All right, getting to the weather, that's going to be something we're going to be keeping a good eye on here for the next few days. But hope everybody survived 4th of July. It was a good one for me, I know that. Always fun. Great holiday. And looks like it's 84 down on the island in Galveston this morning. Today they're calling for partly cloudy skies. A stray shower or thunderstorm is possible with a high around 90 and southwest winds at 10 to 20. And for tonight, some clouds, low of 82, southwest 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms in the morning. Then partly cloudy late with a high near 90, north-northwest winds. They'll be shifting over to the southeast at 10 to 20 in the afternoon. That rain chance is 40%. I think our chances will start to pick up as we get on into the weekend and early next week. And looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. Looks like we have a high at 6:57 a.m. It's a 1.6, then we have a low at 10:42. Late tonight, it's a negative 0.7, so you're going to have a standing high pretty much all afternoon. 6:25 a.m. is sunrise, 8:22 p.m. sunset. Moon phase is 1% visibility. Our new moon's tomorrow night. And looking at current conditions, right now the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. It's showing the air temp out there is 84, water temperature 87, southwest winds 9 to 11. And Galveston Channel, it's 85 degrees with 90-degree water. West-southwest wind at 5 to 8. And Eagle Point, it's 84 degrees with 89-degree water temperature. West 2 to 3. Morgan's Point, it's 83 degrees with 88-degree water. Southwest wind at 5 to 6. So got some west in the wind this morning, westerly factor. And we'll keep an eye on the weather. See what comes around. It could be a busy week. Depends on the turn. And I'm sure a lot of dogs this morning are glad that 4th of July is over with. All right, let's go to the hammer over in the Tri-Bay area and see if he survived yesterday. Good morning, Glenn. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Yeah, we survived it. But it was crazy down here. Got to see a pretty good light show just sitting on the front porch for a while last night, looking down towards San Luis Pass. I mean, it was solid fireworks as far as you could see, buddy.
Right.
But crowd, too. I mean, I looked at the bridge. I was going to have my nephew come down and, you know, just in case this barrel or whatever decides to come our way or whatever, I'm going to go ahead and take safety precautions. I'm going to move my generator from the garage up to the up on top of the patio, and my nephew was going to come down and do it. And when he called me, I looked over at the bridge, and man, you couldn't have got another car between the cars that were stacked. And that was only at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. And I said, don't even head down here, Eric. I appreciate it. I said, I'll get somebody else to help me. I don't want you to get hung up in this traffic.
I heard you could stir them with a stick.
it was pretty busy.
Like ants, man.
lots of folks. I guess Galveston ran out of room. I can't figure it out. Quintana or something's got to be another place to go. But Lord have mercy, they insist on coming on across that bridge. And Lord, it was a lot of people down here. But anyway, we got to see a little fireworks show last night, and I was glad. I woke up sometime in the night, 12:30, 1. You know, it was about 1, and it was already all over. Everybody must have popped them all early. Got the heck out of here.
4th of July always reminds me of the movie Jaws, when that mayor of Shark City, old Larry, goes, "And those beaches will be open tomorrow." Boy.
Yeah. It's all about the commercial.
There was a bunch of shark bites yesterday, I heard, down at South Padre. I saw that one video of that woman. It bit the whole calf of her leg out. It was a big shark. They showed the shark swimming in the water, the video. They're dragging her up on the beach, and her leg's bit out, and she's already in shock. And, man, she's about bled out. They finally got somebody had a belt and put a tourniquet on there. That video was running wild all over Facebook yesterday afternoon. It's crazy.
Yeah. Ever since they hacked my wife on Facebook, I just kind of gave it up a couple years ago and hadn't been back on it.
Oh, well, that's a weekly occurrence on Facebook, getting hacked, man. You got to change your password like every 3 days.
Oh, let's see there. If I was sharp enough to do all that, I'd ball right online with it. But no, it's finally dried out down here, and we've had some of the lowest tides that I've seen in a long, long time in the afternoons.
Well, I mean, button down the hatches, brother. It's fixing to get wet again.
I know. I looked into the weather.
Oh,
this
they're
week
showing that shark attack right now on Fox.
Oh, Lord
on
have
TV
mercy.
Right now. Well, they're showing the shark swimming in the surf. It's a big one from the dorsal to the tail. It's a big shark.
I'm not even going to go to the TV. I can barely concentrate to look at my book.
They claim that shark there bit 4 people. I heard of 7 bites yesterday.
Dang, what is it? Is it the temperature of the water aggravating them or what? It's not just going on.
No, it's just, hey, when you got that many people in the water up and down the coast, somebody's going to get bit.
Yeah, that's right.
Odds increase. And there's just so many sharks in our waters now, man.
Yeah, we caught I told you here not long ago, not even a month ago, we caught a 4-foot black tip in the bay, and that was in the little bays where I fish back in here. And, you know, yeah, over near Christmas where it's a little deeper, yes, but, man, this shark was, to be that big, was in some very shallow water. I started off the week cooking briskets for my friends, you know. Usually the store will have a flood to market with some kind of briskets on the holiday weekends, and anyway, we picked up 3 of them. I cooked 3 briskets Tuesday night. Wednesday, I delivered one of them to our veterinarians and the friends of mine that worked there, and she was serving dinner for everybody. And so they came out real, real good. I was real proud of them, man. It's you know, after seeing a week ago that barbecue pit, the firebox was totally under the water. That picture I seen you where you come down out of my steps and it was all water.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
Straight out from that was my barbecue pit. You could barely see it. The stack in the pit with the cooking part was out. But anyway, it's all dried up, and I mean, it went away, and now the southwest winds or the south winds have just totally complete reverse. I mean, from high tides to low tides, and I know. Get ready, because I got a feeling it's coming again. But anyway, after that last one, yeah, we're getting a little more prepared than we were last time. We had plenty of notice, too. But anyway, so week of cooking briskets and no fishing reports from anybody. I mean, not really. And I've seen every day the last couple of days, there's been plenty of boats over at the boat ramp. And I know I've got some people out there just... Everybody's keeping tight-lipped, I guess, if they're catching anything. But the water I see behind my house in this little old bay, it's just as dirty as can be. And it doesn't look – I can't find no trout green anywhere. You know, come over the bridge and look over towards the jetties, and there might be a little bit of a pocket of green. But anything coming out the jetties and going into the Gulf down one way or the other is all dirty. Still, Brad's just still dumping water. still dumping fresh water. So
get ready. It's going to be on the rise again with this one. It shows once it comes in down in South Texas, you know, it'll make that normal curl to the northeast like it does, and it's going to get all of us all up and down the coast. A lot of rainfall out of this one.
Oh, boy. That's really something to look forward to this week.
I don't know, you know, how it's going to pull our tides up like that little tropical system did at Alberto. But all we can do is wait and see, man. That's all you can do.
That's all. We cross our fingers, and I've already started getting things prepped. I mean, I'm getting it out of here. I've parked my trucks up on the highway.
Might as well.
Getting, like I said, I'm taking my big generator, and I'm bringing it up here on the patio in the next day or two, and I'm going to have it right up here.
Need some help moving that. Them things are heavy, man.
I am. I had my big old nephew headed down here until I seen the traffic, and I said, don't do it, Eric. I said, just turn around and go back wherever you are. You don't want to even see what's going on down here, so. I got, you know, and plus we got a couple of days to deal with it. He's going to come down in another day.
Well, it's going
to
be that way all weekend.
I know. Prep. Get ready.
It's perfect setup. You know, July 4th on a Thursday, and everybody gets a 4-day weekend.
Yeah. I called the bait camps last night, and they're having to go to Galveston to get their bait, and the shrimp that they're getting are real huge. So they're just telling you, well, you know, they're real big shrimp, but I haven't been out in so long. I got a trip this morning with four adults and a 3-year-old. So I'm going to have a boat pool this morning, and I told them all to get a baseball hat, plenty of sunscreen.
Yeah.
And, I feel like putting a bimini up. If it didn't take up so much room, I'd put the bimini
up.
It
does. It's hard to fish out one of them things, man.
You can, not with that many people on the boat anyway. So,
and a 3-year-old.
So we're going to get some... We're going to get some hop-o-matics and do that kind of thing. And I'm not even going to go down to the pass. I'm going to fish locally in the little bays behind the house. And
do they even make a PFD that'll fit a 3-year-old?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. They got them. But, I'm sure do. And I got them on the boat. And I got them for under 50 pounds, over 90 pounds. And it just youth, universal. I've got five type 1 Coast Guard jackets that we have, you know, the ones that are real
with a reflector on them, big bulky ones.
Right. And then I always carry two or three of the other ones of different sizes and stuff too. It's better to have them on the boat than not to have them. I'll tell you that. And on a holiday weekend, they're out. Look, I see the Coast Guard yesterday going up and down the Intercoastal Canal. They're just trying to keep everybody safe is what they do.
They're going to be busy.
The police were quite busy down here yesterday afternoon.
You think?
We heard sirens. They've got these little four-wheelers that they chase people on the beach with. And anyway, they had their hands full yesterday afternoon. I'm telling you, we were here hearing some sirens. I hope everybody's all right. Bait camps are holding bait, but they're real big. You probably want to get there early. They don't hold them for very long, and then they reload after about 10, 11 o'clock. So, but that's what we're going to do. We're just going to go out and throw some hop-o-matics this morning, see if I can have some fun with them. And if the worst comes to worst, I can always go over to Cold Pass and hit about a 20-foot deep hole and start fishing for sand trout. I mean, I'm going to put them on something one way or the other. So make sure this little guy... Little guy or little girl, whatever it is, whatever she is, they have a good time today. So parents bringing a 3-year on the boat, I was kind of worrying about that.
Yeah, that's kind of young, man. That's I took my son out till he was a little older.
Yeah, today. I'm not understanding all of that, but we'll do the best we can. I know. I hope somebody's on the boat.
Depends on that kid, buddy.
Yeah, that's right. It sure does. Sure does, Captain Mickey.
All
but
right,
I am gonna get to up there and get my phone ran through, have them reset it for me this week, and see if we can't get that problem worked out.
I think you probably got us on spam blocker or something like that.
I do, and I don't even know it. I'm not smart enough to know how to fix it, so I just hadn't had a chance to get up there. But I'm gonna do it. Good to have Chase
fine.
Back in the
saddle. Well,
good to have
let
Chase
your fingers
the
do
saddle.
The walking. You can dial
for now
until you get it changed, and then we'll call you. All right, throw them out a number, Hammer.
Yes, sir. 713 208-0683. Y'all have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you very much.
You too. Be safe out there. All right, later.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you know, folks, if you want to know the latest and greatest in fishing, tune into the Texas Insider Fishing Report. You can find that on Thursday nights at 10:30 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest, or you can find it on Space City HomeNet. And, you know, the show, what it does, it gives you a fresh fishing forecast before the weekend so you can spend more time catching fish. And Texas Insider, what they do is they break the state down into six regions, three freshwater for bass and crappie enthusiasts, and three saltwater for the guys who want to catch trout and redfish inshore, or tuna, wahoo, and marlin offshore. So join in with Dave Farrell, Bree Gabrielle, and my friend Captain Rick Murphy to know what's hot and what's not. That's every Thursday night at 10:30, Friday mornings at 7, and Friday evenings at 5 p.m. on Bally Sports Southwest or Space City Sportsnet. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 419 here in the Bayou City on this Friday morning. All right, let's run up to Fayette County Reservoir and check in with our good friend, Bob Green. Hey, Bob, what's up, buddy? Hello.
Well, good morning.
There you are.
Good day yesterday on the 4th.
Yeah, everything was good. How about
you? I tell you, these phones, we wondered. I tell you, it was all good. And, had it up, and of course, we worked all day long. So this rail around the top of the house here has got all them little picket-looking things, about 2 inch by 2 inch. We sanded and scrubbed on them. Of course, today we get to paint them. So, yeah, that's what we did yesterday.
Boy, you picked some nice cool weather to do it in,
that's okay.
Brother.
I know it. I was going to do it last year, but that time winter got here first and said, yeah, we couldn't paint because it was too cold. well, what can I say?
It's
yeah,
hot.
We finally had people trying to find us today because the internet was out, and of course, without internet, I have no phone service here.
That's great.
And they finally got it up late last night before, you know, we had any kind of cell service. So I didn't know if we were going to have service this morning or not.
Well,
so I mean, I couldn't even text you to tell you, hey, it may be a problem.
Isn't that nuts?
But it sounds like it's working.
Yeah, it is. It's working for now, buddy.
I didn't fish at all this week, but I talked to one of the other guys, you know, that works with me, or we work together.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, that morning, really the morning's about the best time, that first couple hours. And then after that, it's, you know, you get a little crankbait bite first thing in the morning because there's, you know, quite a bit of bait still up shallow. Because I know that when I fished last week, it was, you know, there was quite a bit of bait swimming around up there in the shallows. But he said after what they did this week was after they, you know, about an hour and a half, you know, was stretching it for an hour and a half, and it was pretty much going out with Carolina rigs and working the humps and on the end of the points and things like that. And you may have to go more than one or two spots to, you know, finally get you a few extra fish. But I tell you what, by 10, well, it's not even 10 o'clock, by 9:30, you've just about had all you want.
Right.
And And if you can hang in there till you know one, you've done pretty good. That's what it's going to be for the rest. And what about the end of spring?
We used to get those little cool punts in. Next few days with the rain, we're going to get off that storm. So
yeah, it looks like when I get on that what you call the dirty side or the watery side, and we don't need any more rain up here. I mean, you can't keep up with the little beads and shoots that grow up in this mahia grass as it is right now.
Right.
And I kind of got behind on it, and even the brush hogs having trouble getting through something that's about 3 foot tall. But they're so tough. I mean, it just... And of course, last time I tried to sharpen the blades on it, I got a piece of steel in my head to go get it out. So, time for new blades.
New blades.
But anyway, but I tell you those things. I got an air impact wrench and I can't get it broke loose. I've tried a cheater bar, tried to get it loose. Last time I had a replacement, I just took them to the tractor shop, and they actually did it while it was sitting on the trailer. Brought one of them big machines out there and ripped them off and put them back on. But I got to get that
on,
done.
What is it on a brush hog?
I got too much going on this weekend. Yeah, on a brush hog.
Yeah.
Big old nut back there.
Yeah, they must have.
Finally had to find a set of.
Have a good impact of a lot of torque behind it, knock that nut off. Sounds like they put it on as tight as they found it.
I figured they're used. Well, I'll get it done. But I got behind on my mowing this year with all that rain. Time you get through with one thing, it's time to go back to the one you first started on.
Yeah, start on one end of your.
Shot it.
One end of your property, and then when you're through, just go back and start on the other end. You could almost watch grass grow with all that rain. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's about right. It looked like about in 2 days it grew 2 or 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a dry spell in here this week. I mean, that grass that was really, really green, getting a little tint to it.
It is. You can smell it in the afternoon.
Little shading
you can smell
going
that
on,
grass
like
burning.
Yellow.
Yeah. I'm already getting cracks in the ground. It's so hot and dry.
I was going to send you another picture of a perch all laid out. So. I'm talking about my grandson and my oldest boy, they've been hitting summer bale.
Right.
And he sent me a picture of a perch lined out. I don't mean little perch. I'm talking about those good hand sized perch.
Yeah, it's picture brown.
And he flays them all out and makes a pretty nice little fillet. But
yeah.
I guess they just all of a sudden moved in shallow over there. And of course, they're still, that's what's going on up here right now, too.
Yeah, they're spawning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. They say they're going to have a perch jerk contest up here again. It was the old bay camp that was over there off of Park Prairie reopened, and they got it open again now, and they're talking about doing that perch jerk again, where that's where they used to go out, like the deal was to catch 50 perch, and they got to where they'd come in with all different sizes, little small ones, just to say they caught 50, so I'm hoping this year they have some rules on it and don't take out those little ones. But some of those they take out, you wait until next year, it'll be a full grown perch. So we'll see how that works out. Well, And I didn't know that one of the other guys was telling me that they came in this year or the end of last year, and they stocked 150 or 200-something thousand perch in here because they wanted to do some studying about them. I don't know all the details. I'll see what I can find out on that.
Right.
But, you know, last year and this year, those perch really, well, they've always done really good on this lake. Like I say, they had that kind forever back in the day. So, well, just well, wait
that's,
and see.
That's good food for the bass, too. You know, those smaller ones, they love eating them, and they eating the brim. Especially, in, you know, when it gets hotter.
Yeah, I'll tell you what when we were fishing for those brim that day with those little chunks of worm on there, I don't know how many little bass that was caught that was around 3.5-4 inches.
Man.
That actually grabbed hold of that worm. So there, we had a good hatch, that's for sure. So, speaking of a good hatch, I'm finally starting to see some of them little fawns showing up. Of course, the last couple that showed up this morning, one had kind of a limp on its right hip, like it might have had trouble going over a fence or anything. But I haven't seen one with spots on it. It's like they kept them back in the woods for a while.
Right.
Because they just lost their spots. So,
mm-hmm.
But looks like they had two, the ones that I've seen. So, you know, if they can keep them alive crossing roads and stuff, because mama's going to get across the road and she lets the little one just take its chance.
Yeah, the little ones aren't street smart yet.
I don't want any more splash. No, they're not.
It's kind of like dogs. You see these dogs, you go, that dog's never going to last a week on this road, and he'll be there for 3 or 4 years. He's just street smart.
They finally figured out. So, oh, we got a few of those up and down this street here. They're thinking, well, what are you going to do when you get a hold of it? What are you going to do when you do come with it? I don't need any extra because the neighbor's got enough for all of us.
Well, I'm not seeing a lot of it anymore, but boy, there for a while, the last couple of years, people were dumping dogs like crazy.
And they're still doing it. You know, there'll be some hound up out here, but somebody picks them up and starts raising them, and some take care of them, some of them just let them run wild until a car hits them or coyotes get them or something like that. So now this little 3-pound Yorkie here, it gets guarded everywhere it goes because there's hawks up here to take her and just fly off with her.
Hey, that's owl bait at nighttime. I got a buddy that had one of those little miniature Yorkies, and he let it out one morning, like 4 a.m. I guarantee it just vanished. I think an owl got it.
Yeah.
Big old barred owl probably got it, or a big
no
horned
problem.
Owl.
Yeah, I got a little patio here. Patio slide, you slide the door open, you walk out onto it, and it's glassed in. And there's only a couple of spots there where that owl could got in. But, man, we heard something beating around out there one night, and of course it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I got the spotlight out, and I'm looking out there, and just about every time that owl comes across there, and he's getting hung up in these Christmas tree lights that was hanging down. Not really Christmas tree lights, but anyway, he's trying to get out of there, and of course, undoubtedly, I'm blinding him like crazy with that spotlight, trying to keep up with him. Anyway, I finally opened the door, and he finally made it out of there, but that sucker had a wingspan like an eagle, it looked like. And I know he could take that little dog and swim and take off with him. And swim off with him. wrong word. but anyway, the afternoon fishing just been kind of unbearable. If you're going to go fishing in the afternoon, I mean, if you're just going out for ding-donging, shoot, not till about 5 or 6 o'clock. So it's not dark till nine, or close to nine. So, and even then, he was telling me it wasn't that great. So, you know, there was years back when we would go out there and just fishing at kind of in the discharge area, because that water, the hotter it got, and the oxygen levels started depleting, or they were, you know, changing the thermocline, stuff like that. You had a lot of oxygen stuff over there, and those fish would stack up in there and throw a little swim bait or something like that in there and catch those fish in it. But haven't done that late. I mean, it was after dark before when I used to do that, or close to dark. You know, I had one of my customers, he actually brought a lantern and said, "Hey, we can see a lot better. We can stay till after dark." And we'll see if that works out again. I'd like to see that happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's odd catching fish in 110, 111, 12 degree water.
I know, isn't that strange? I guess those fish adapt to it. I guess they get used to it, you know.
Yeah, you really got to get them back in the water fast. You don't want to sit there and take pictures for 10 minutes and hold it out of the water before you get him back in there. So,
well, this time of year, a lot of our trout die from that. You know, they'll catch these bigger ones, the oversized ones, and put them on a boga and do all their snapping, and, you know.
Yeah.
Those fish don't have even if you take really good care of them, that hot water, their survival rate's pretty slim. Pretty slim.
Yeah, and trying to hold them up there and swim them back and forth, you're still doing it in 100-degree water.
Yeah.
Like that. I would normally try to get them headed in the right direction, thinking a lot of times it's just kind of submarine it down back into that. You'd get them down to a little cooler water. But,
right.
And I've had good luck doing it like that, so. I mean, it has to be done just right to make sure they don't turn, you know, flop right back out. But you get them down there a little ways, they'll find some cooler water. I mean, that's where the oxygen level is. So, but it looks like it's down around 10 or 12 feet right now. You can see that layer, that thermocline looking like. So we'll just see what happened. You know, last year we had a couple of little fish kills. They weren't bad on bass, but they were bad on perch and tilapia and stuff like that, and some catfish. Which, you know, I thought nothing would kill a catfish. But anyway.
All right. All right, Bob. Well, hey, man, don't get too hot painting on that house, man. That's start early and finish early.
Well, yeah, I got to wait for the dew to kind of dry off of it. First, by then, it is warm. But we'll get it done. It'll look so much better.
All right, well, throw out some info. Somebody wants to call you about fishing.
It's 281-460-9200 or FayetteCountyBassFishing.com. Right, y'all have a great weekend. We'll holler at you later.
Thank you, man. See you, bud. Later. All right, that's Bob Green up on Fayette County. Well, you know, the 35th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament, that's currently going on. That started Memorial Day weekend. It'll run all summer, all the way through Labor Day weekend. And it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Sign up today. Take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. Tagged reds were released in inshore waters. They're swimming around waiting to be caught, and you can fish for, you know, other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. And if you offshore fish, you can fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. So go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the Star Tournament's brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star Beer, Hawk Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers, just to name a few. Again, go to startournament.org, call 713-626-4222, and get signed up today.
my thrill. On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 441 here in the Bayou City on this Friday morning. All right, let's go down to Matagorda. Let's check in with Captain Tommy Alexander, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Tommy.
What's up, Mickey?
Not a lot, brother. Are you fishing on this busy holiday weekend?
Lovely holiday weekend. You know, yesterday was not very busy at all.
Really?
No. I mean, there was a lot of people in town. I saw a lot of people around, and a lot of people were in town, but there wasn't a lot of people fishing.
Huh.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I fished last 4 days in a row, and yesterday was the least crowded day of the whole week.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You just never know. Just load up and go. You don't know if it's going to be crowded or empty.
Yeah, you never know. And, I mean, it might be a million people today. I don't know, but you never know. But I know yesterday, I think, was maybe the least crowded of the week. It was definitely no different than any other day of the week.
Right.
It was pretty interesting, and I was prepared. You know, I had prepared myself for it to be crowded. I thought, I just figured it was, but it wasn't really. It wasn't bad at all. It was the worst day maybe of the week, fishing wise.
Mm-hmm.
But not crowded. That wind had kicked up on us out of the southwest again. And did its normal thing. You know how it is.
Yeah, I saw where you had a kid the other day catch a 15-inch croaker. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
how about that?
The day before yesterday or something? Man, I don't even remember anymore. But, yeah, 15-incher. Yeah. It was a good one. I mean, it was a solid. It was the biggest one I've seen in a long time.
Well, I'd like to have about 10 or 20 of them flay out and fry up. Boy.
I mean, I thought it was a red. He said, I got a fish. And I looked up there, and his rod wasn't even bent over at all. I guess it was coming at him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I heard it pull and drag. You know, it started pulling drag. I said, oh, crap. You know, that's a good fish. So I turned and grabbed the net and then walked up there, and I was looking at it. It was trying to go under. It wasn't fighting like a trout. It wasn't going, moving or anything. And then I thought, man, that might even be a hard head the way it was kind of just going down.
Staying deep.
Yeah. And then it came up, and my first thought was still a rat. I say, oh, that's a rat red. You know, I was like, that's a undersized red, decent but undersized red. And then I netted it. I said, oh, crap, I mean, that's a croaker. So,
boy, if croakers got up to 4 and 5 and 6 pounds, man, that's a strong little fish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was pulling drag. I mean, it was fighting him like a keeper red would do. it was a good one. The biggest one I've seen in a while. And it ate a, what you call it? It ate a Little John under a cork.
There you go.
That's what it ate. Yeah. Little John under cork. But we had, out of the 4 days I fished, it was split. I had 2 good days and 2 bad days. It was split down the middle. The first 2 days were good.
Yeah.
Maybe Monday, Tuesday, something like that were good. And we did really well. I mean, we smoked them. And then that wind started blowing out of the southwest, and it just went downhill.
Boy, it changes everything.
It's just so amazing. And I tell people, and I don't think anybody that hasn't been out there like and done it with us can see the difference or understand the difference. You can literally, it can be blowing southeast at 5. The whole bay is green. And everywhere you stop, you catch trout. Every single time you kill the motor and throw out there, you're catching trout. That wind can switch and go to southwest, and 2 hours later it's muddy, and you can go back to every single spot that you caught trout ever cast on, and you'd think that all the trout died.
Get a bite,
and you can't get a bite.
It changes it changes the current. I mean, everything. It just
everything.
I don't know what it does.
It does something.
We've been fighting this water, forever.
Yeah, as soon as that water goes brown in East Bay out there, it's like they you can't.
As hot as this water is, I mean, all it takes is just one wind switch, and it'll just roll it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll go from green and beautiful to rolling mud in an hour. But, so, that's what we did. We had two great days and two slow days this week. So, I don't know, what's the wind doing now?
It's got some west in it this morning.
Is it hard? It's
bearer of bad news here. Let me give you a quick update.
Is it double digits?
No. It's west. It's mostly west southwest. Offshore, it's southwest, but inside, it's west southwest at about 5 to 6.
See, 5 is okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's when it gets
double
digits.
Once you
get like
12
west.
And 15,
yes.
that's all it takes.
It'll roll it up,
man.
Yep. If it's out of the west, any double digits out of the west is no good.
No. Well, other morning, you know, when Wayne and I went with Plog, that wind was, it started out kind of west-northwest, and I can't believe how much water, just that little bit of wind out of the west dumped out of the bay with that outgoing tide. We started off catching them just boom, bam, boom, really good, and once that wind kicked in good and made that current run so hard on outgoing, man, it shut those fish off. They were hard to catch.
Yeah.
And it was so hard to get your bait down. You know, once you got it down, you'd get a bite here and there. But, I mean, it just, you could tell it was like a light switch. And then as that current slowed up later in the morning, about 11 o'clock, then boom, they're back on again. It's just... I know west wind's fickle. Plus, we were having, man, you couldn't see a mile across the bay from all that smoke coming off that, you know, marsh fire that was over there by Demijohn or somewhere in Brazoria County.
Oh. That ain't good.
Smelling burning hay all morning. That was nasty.
Yeah. But you're right, though. That wind, it just makes a night and day difference. It really is like a switch. You can just be smoking and that wind. I know in East Bay, the water get muddy, it get brown, and it's just a switch flips, and they're done. You think they're not there anymore, but they're there. They're there. They just can't make them bite. As soon as it goes green again, they're you can sit right on top of them and start catching them again. I don't know. What's the storm going to do? Anything change?
No, well, it hit... you know, Cozumel and Cancun, Isla Mujeres and all that, it as a Category 3. I think it's a 2 now. And it's going to cross the Yucatan, and it's going to be a 1. And the cone has moved a little more north. It looks like it's going to hit down there, you know, in South Texas somewhere. You know, just above the Texas-Mexico border. That's what they're saying now. I mean,
so we'll get high water and some rain.
We should get some bull tides, and looks like we're going to get a pretty good amount of rain off of it also, because once it comes in, it's going to skirt back to the northeast and then come up this way towards me. So it looks like the entire coast and South Texas and even the hill country, everybody's going to get some rain out of this. People that really, really need it.
All week long, maybe it's going to rain.
It's a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if you could fill Choke Canyon up. It's going to take a lot to do that, but, boy, some of those lakes could really use some water.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny because there's some lakes that are overflowing and some lakes are low.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Only in Texas.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know, I heard of some bunch of live flight helicopters down on Matagorda Beach last week.
Yes.
What was that all about? People got caught in the rip currents or what?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how it started, so I don't want to be wrong, but I heard that a couple people got swept out, or maybe kids got swept out, and then I think maybe people keep other people kept going in to save the other people.
Right.
You know how that is? And the next thing you know, there was like seven or eight people that got, you know, swept out.
Wow.
I heard at least, I don't know the final number, but I heard there was like four or five people got lifelighted. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what
I heard. Everybody made it. I heard everybody made it.
Yeah.
From what I heard. But there was some people that were kind of, you know, in a little bit of bad shape, but I did hear that everybody made it.
Well, they probably had to do, you know, mouth to mouth and all that on them, resuscitate them.
Yeah. What about that shark attack down on South Padre?
Well, that one shark I heard bit four people. I heard of seven bites yesterday down there.
I heard four. Yeah, I heard four bites. But
four
I saw
by one shark.
One.
Well, one guy texted me that surfs a lot, and he said that the sharks have been bad in Matagorda, too. Nobody's been bit, but it's got everybody pretty shaky. And because they can see them blowing up bait everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I saw one this week in East Bay drifting that came up beside. I thought it was going to eat the boat. It came up chasing bait. It chased bait, and a mullet jumped in my boat while we were drifting because it was running from that shark. It came up and then turned and almost hit my boat and then went down, and a mullet actually landed in my boat. And then we saw it again a few minutes later out in front of us, you know, thrashing around. And it was a pretty big one, like a 4 or 5 footer, which is for East Bay, pretty big.
Yeah. Well, that one that showed in the surf after that attack when they drug that lady up on the beach, you know, with her leg bitten half off. Whoever was videoing that switched to the surf, and it showed that was a big shark swimming down that second gut.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
It looked like it was 4 or 5 foot between his fins.
Yeah, from the dorsal to the tail. I mean, that's how you tell. That was a big shark. That's a big fish.
Yeah. Yeah. I swear I've been saying it for the last couple of years. Every year we're getting more and more sharks.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, they're just, I don't know how to control them, but there's a lot of them.
I know guys fishing up here, they've been fighting them all year. Had some really close calls with them, you know, while they're fishing. They're eating their fish while they're reeling them in. You can't, they don't even put them on a stringer. There's no point in it because they'll just eat them all. You're just feeding the local wildlife, buddy. Hopefully they keep eating them fish and don't start biting people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when we start having that problem all the time, then that's going to be a real problem.
And a lot of bites over on the Florida coast, too.
I heard that, too. Yep.
Well,
I don't know what's happening.
You put as many people in the water as, you know, we do on these holiday weekends. It's, you know, it's inevitable. Somebody's going to get bit.
Yeah.
Just, the odds are in the, you know, in a bad way.
Yep. Too many people, and then we're in their backyard. So
it's kind of like a fishing tournament. You can put them all in a place where there's hardly any fish, but somebody's going to catch them if you got enough people.
Yep, that's right.
Odds increase.
Somebody will find them. Yes, sir.
But you know, I hear from Jeff Goat all the time over there in Venice. He quit snapper fishing over there because the sharks are so bad. You can't even reel one up. And
they eat it.
Oh yeah, he said it's just been horrendous over there. Horrible. Oh well. Well, cool, Tommy. I hope you have a fun 4th of July weekend. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, man, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, they can get me on Facebook under Tom Alexander, but the best way is my phone. Text me, leave a message if I don't answer, 979-709-8242.
All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Be safe out there, man.
All right.
You are too. West wind. All right, brother. See you, man.
All right.
All right, that's Captain Tommy Alexander in Matagorda. It's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 441 here in the Bayou City on this Friday morning. All right, let's go down to Matagorda. Let's check in with Captain Tommy Alexander, see what he's up to this morning. Good morning, Tommy.
What's up, Mickey?
Not a lot, brother. Are you fishing on this busy holiday weekend?
Lovely holiday weekend. You know, yesterday was not very busy at all.
Really?
No. I mean, there was a lot of people in town. I saw a lot of people around, and a lot of people were in town, but there wasn't a lot of people fishing.
Huh.
I mean, as a matter of fact, I fished last 4 days in a row, and yesterday was the least crowded day of the whole week.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You just never know. Just load up and go. You don't know if it's going to be crowded or empty.
Yeah, you never know. And, I mean, it might be a million people today. I don't know. But you never know. But I know yesterday, I think, was maybe the least crowded of the week. It was definitely no different than any other day of the week.
Right.
It was pretty interesting, and I was prepared. You know, I had prepared myself for it to be crowded. I thought, I just figured it was, but it wasn't really. It wasn't bad at all. It was the worst day maybe of the week, fishing wise,
mm-hmm.
but not crowded. That wind had kicked up on us out of the southwest again. And did its normal thing. You know how it is.
Yeah, I saw where you had a kid the other day catch a 15-inch croaker. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
How about that?
The day before yesterday or something? Man, I don't even remember anymore. But, yeah, 15-incher. Yeah. It was a good one. I mean, it was a solid. It was the biggest one I've seen in a long time.
Well, I'd like to have about 10 or 20 of them fillet out and fry up. Boy.
I mean, I thought it was a red. He said, I got a fish. And I looked up there, and his rod wasn't even bent over at all. I guess it was coming at him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I heard it pull and drag. You know, it started pulling drag. I said, oh, crap. You know, that's a good fish. So I turned and grabbed the net and then walked up there, and I was looking at it. It was trying to go under. It wasn't fighting like a trout. It wasn't going, moving or anything. And then I thought, man, that might even be a hard head the way it was kind of just going down.
Staying deep.
Yeah. And then it came up, and my first thought was still a rat. I say, oh, that's a rat red. You know, I was like, that's a undersized red, decent but undersized red. And then I netted it. I said, oh, crap, I mean, that's a croaker. So,
boy, if croakers got up to 4 and 5 and 6 pounds, man, that's a strong little fish.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was pulling drag. I mean, it was fighting him like a keeper red would do. it was a good one. The biggest one I've seen in a while. And it ate a Little John under a cork.
There you go.
That's what it ate. Yeah. Little John under cork. But we had, out of the 4 days I fished, it was split. I had 2 good days and 2 bad days. It was split down the middle. The first 2 days were good.
Yeah.
Maybe Monday, Tuesday, something like that were good. And we did really well. I mean, we smoked them. And then that wind started blowing out of the southwest, and it just went downhill.
Boy, it changes everything.
It's just so amazing. And I tell people, and I don't think anybody that hasn't been out there like and done it with us can see the difference or understand the difference. you can literally, it can be blowing southeast at 5. The whole bay is green. And everywhere you stop, you catch trout. Every single time you kill the motor and throw out there, you're catching trout. That wind can switch and go to southwest, and 2 hours later it's muddy, and you can go back to every single spot that you caught trout ever cast on, and you'd think that all the trout
can't even
died.
Get a bite.
You can't get a bite.
It changes it changes the current. I mean, everything. It just
everything.
I don't know what it does.
It does something.
We've been fighting this forever.
Yeah, as soon as that water goes brown in East Bay out there, it's like they you can't.
As hot as this water is, I mean, all it takes is just one wind switch, and it'll just roll it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll go from green and beautiful to rolling mud in an hour. But, so, that's what we did. We had two great days and two slow days this week. So, I don't know, what's the wind doing now?
It's got some west in it this morning.
Is it hard? It's
bare bad news here. Let me give you a quick update.
Is it double digits?
No. It's west. It's mostly west southwest. Offshore, it's southwest, but inside, it's west southwest at about 5 to 6.
See, 5 is okay.
Yeah.
You know. It's when it gets double
digits. Once
you get
like 12 and 15, that's all it takes.
It'll roll it up,
man.
Yep. If it's out of the west, any double digits out of the west is no good.
No. Well, the other morning, you know, when Wayne and I went with Plog, that wind was, it started out kind of west-northwest, and I can't believe how much water, just that little bit of wind out of the west dumped out of the bay with that outgoing tide. We started off catching them just boom, bam, boom, really good. And once that wind kicked in good and made that current run so hard on outgoing, it shut those fish off. They were hard to catch. And it was so hard to get your bait down. You know, once you got it down, you'd get a bite here and there. But, I mean, it just, you could tell it was like a light switch. And then as that current slowed up later in the morning, about 11 o'clock, then boom, they're back on again. It's just, I know west wind's fickle. Plus, we were having, man, you couldn't see a mile across the bay from all that smoke coming off that, you know, marsh fire that was over there by Demijohn or somewhere in Brazoria County.
Oh, that ain't good.
Smelling burning hay all morning. That was nasty.
Yeah, but you're right, though. That wind, it just makes a night and day difference. It really is like a switch. You can just be smoking them, and that wind. I know in East Bay, the water get muddy. It get brown, and it's just a switch flips, and they're done. You think they're not there anymore, but they're there. They're there. You just can't make them bite. As soon as it goes green again, they're you can sit right on top of them and start catching them again. I don't know. What's the storm going to do? Anything change?
No, well, it hit, you know, Cozumel and Cancun, Isla Mujeres and all that as a Category 3. I think it's a 2 now. And it's going to cross the Yucatan, and it's going to be a 1. And the cone has moved a little more north. It looks like it's going to hit down there, you know, in South Texas somewhere. You know, just above the Texas-Mexico border. That's what they're saying now. I mean,
so we'll get high water and some rain.
We should get some bull tides, and looks like we're going to get a pretty good amount of rain off of it also, because once it comes in, it's going to skirt back to the northeast and then come up this way towards me. So it looks like the entire coast and South Texas and even the hill country, everybody's going to get some rain out of this. People that really, really need it.
All week long, maybe it's going to rain.
It's a pretty good chance.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice if you could fill Choke Canyon up. It's going to take a lot to do that. But, boy, some of those lakes could really use some water.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny because there's some lakes that are overflowing and some lakes are low.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Only in Texas.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That's
know,
right.
I ordered some bunch of live flight helicopters down on Matagorda Beach last week.
Yes.
What was that about? People got caught in the rip currents or what?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how it started, so I don't want to be wrong, but I heard that a couple people got swept out, or maybe kids got swept out, and then I think maybe other people kept going in to save the other people.
Right.
You know how that is? And the next thing you know, there was like seven or eight people that got swept out.
Wow.
I heard at least, I don't know the final number, but I heard there was like four or five people got life flighted. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what
I heard. Everybody made it. I heard everybody made it.
Yeah.
From what I heard. But there were some people that were kind of, in a little bit of bad shape. But I did hear that everybody made it.
Well, they probably had to do, mouth to mouth and all that on them, resuscitate them.
Yeah. What about that shark attack down on South Padre?
Well, that one shark I heard bit four people. I heard of seven bites yesterday down there.
I heard four. Yeah, I heard four bites. But
four
I saw
by
the pictures
one shark.
Of that one.
Well, one guy texted me that surfs a lot, and he said that the sharks have been bad in Matagorda, too. Nobody's been bit, but it's got everybody pretty shaky. And because they see them blowing up bait everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I saw one this week in East Bay drifting that came up beside. I thought it was going to eat the boat. It came up chasing bait. It chased bait, and a mullet jumped in my boat while we were drifting because it was running from that shark. It came up and then turned and almost hit my boat and then went down, and a mullet actually landed in my boat. And then we saw it again a few minutes later out in front of us, thrashing around. And it was a pretty big one, like a 4 or 5 footer, which is for East Bay, is pretty good, pretty big.
Yeah. Well, that one that showed in the surf after that attack when they drug that lady up on the beach, with her leg bitten half off. Whoever was videoing that switched to the surf, and it showed that was a big shark swimming down that second gut.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like
it was 4 or 5 foot between his fins.
Yeah, from the dorsal to the tail. I mean, that's how you tell. That was a big shark. That's a big fish.
Yeah. Well, I swear I've been saying it for the last couple of years. Every year we're getting more and more sharks.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, they're just, I don't know how to control them, but there's a lot of them.
I know guys fishing up here, they've been fighting them all year. Had some really close calls with them, while they're fishing. They're eating their fish while they're reeling them in. You can't, they don't even put them on a stringer. There's no point in it because they'll just eat them all. You're just feeding the local wildlife, buddy. Hopefully they keep eating them fish and don't start biting people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when we start having that problem all the time, then that's going to be a real problem.
And a lot of bites over on the Florida coast, too.
I heard that, too. Yep.
Well,
I don't know what's happening.
You put as many people in the water as, we do on these holiday weekends. It's, it's inevitable. Somebody's going to get bit.
Yeah.
Just, the odds are in the, in a bad way.
Yep. Too many people, and then we're in their backyard. So
it's kind of like a fishing tournament. You can put them all in a place where there's hardly any fish, but somebody's going to catch them if you got enough people.
Yep, that's right.
Odds increase.
Somebody will find them. Yes, sir.
But I hear it from Jeff Coat all the time over there in Venice. He quit snapper fishing over there because the sharks are so bad. You can't even reel one up. And
they eat it.
Oh yeah, he said it's just been horrendous over there. Horrible. Oh well. Well, cool, Tommy. I hope you have a fun 4th of July weekend. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing with you, man, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, they can get me on Facebook under Tom Alexander, but the best way is my phone. Text me, leave a message if I don't answer, 979-709-8242.
All right, buddy. Well, Tommy, you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you next week. Be safe out there, man.
All right. You are too.
West wind. All right, brother. See you, man.
All right.
That's Captain Tommy Alexander in Matagorda. It's time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.